You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 245 of the Shared Security Show. And joining us this week, first, I want to welcome back our long lost prodigal son, co-host Kevin Johnson. Welcome back, son.
Oh, man, it's good to be back. Kill the fatted calf. And, yes.
Welcome. And we're also graced by the presence of our world famous master of security awareness, Mr. Scott Wright.
Thank you all. Thank you all for allowing me to grace you with my presence.
Well, I'm actually, it's an honor to have both of you back on the show because Kevin, it's been a while.
I have been traveling and my traveling is not stopping. I actually, the minute we finish recording today, I am jumping in the car and driving to Augusta because the hurricane ruined my flights.
Yeah. Hurricane ruins everything.
Yeah, hurricanes ruin everything. But we were lucky. Damage was really, really bad on the West Coast of Florida.
Oh, yeah.
We got very little. We lost power for a bit.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
No.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But isn't that the price you pay for living in Florida? Isn't that what they say?
There's lots of prices we pay for living in Florida. It just happens to be one of them.
Hurricanes. People think they're zombies. I mean, you know. And you have Disney World, though. So that's a positive.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have some really interesting stories this week. And the first one here, I kind of wanted to start with, and maybe this is more of like a educational segment in a way, because Apple has announced with iOS 16 and the new iPhone that's coming out, support for something called passkeys. Which is, I know we've probably mentioned this on the show before several times over the years, that this was something that eventually will replace passwords. At least that's the initial thought. And it's definitely a good thing. Passkeys are, I believe, and I think many people in our industry would agree that it is a good method to replace passwords eventually. We know passwords are not going away anytime soon, but it's really good to see the big tech companies like Apple and Google finally putting support for this within their products and operating system. So a little bit about a passkey. So you could think of this as you're really going to need your phone or your device to authenticate to websites and to different systems in the future. But what makes this different is that the passkey actually uses public key cryptography, which is well known. It's very well proven, right, from a security perspective as a good way to do any type of authentication, right? And so it uses that as the back end, which is pretty cool because the attacker can't get a password in the traditional sense because those pass keys are essentially stored on your device. Specifically, the private key is stored on your device. And we won't do a encryption or cryptography lesson in this episode.
PKI lesson, yeah.
But in simplistic terms, there isn't a way for an attacker to get your password if you're using passkeys. So it's good for everybody. But the trick is that websites and servers have to support it on the back end. So this isn't something that's just going to roll out to everybody overnight. This is going to take, I would say, years for something like this to roll out.
I mean, let's compare it to hardware tokens.
Right? Yeah.
And I want to be very clear. I'm not saying the technology is the same. I'm talking about the user experience, the rollout of it. Yeah. We've had hardware tokens for ridiculous amounts of time.
Yeah.
And they haven't done anything to get rid of passwords completely. The biggest concern that I have, and I want to be very clear, I love that this is being rolled out. I'm thrilled that this is an option for people who have an iPhone. What we need to make sure of is that the applications that support it understand it, right? And I use the example of, you know, hardware tokens purposely because I have a hardware token for a number of my accounts and things like that. And what I find quite often is I go to the application that uses it and I can click a button that says, oh, yeah, wait, I don't have this. So switch to the old form of authenticating me, which bypasses the entire control mm-hmm. of having the hardware key. And I'm a little worried. And my reason for worrying about this is we're using the passkey to authenticate to third-party sites, not Apple sites, right? And so similar to, well, use Facebook, use Google, use whatever to log in, those applications have to enforce the passkey.
Correct.
To protect. And that's, I don't think there's enough attention being paid to that.
Absolutely.
We're telling websites, and I read through Apple's documentation, and Apple has done a good job of documenting how the user uses it. But I don't see a ton of good documentation yet on how the website should do it. They've got some. Like, if you want to implement this or something, right? Like, developer documentation, what have you. Mm-hmm. But everything I've read does not say anything about forcing this path or giving the user to say,
right,
don't ever let me click the I don't have my phone. Right.
Yeah. Well, and that is the other thing about this too, right? Like, so what happens if you lose your phone? Right. Yep. Just like we see now with two-factor authentication, if you're using an app like Authy or something else, we've talked about this on this show. You get a new phone or, you know, something happens to your device. What is the alternate method of logging into sites if we're now so reliant on mm-hmm. the phone to do that?
Yeah. And every time we try and make it easier to get around those little glitches, we're adding more vulnerabilities, right? So somebody will come up with a way to make it easy to, you know, lose your phone and recover it somewhere else. And that's going to be a vulnerability.
And that's where I think the vulnerability is going to be, to your point, Kevin, in these alternate, you know, what's the fail back, right? When you lost your phone or some other method, that will probably be an attack vector on this. But it's great. I think everyone would agree that pass keys are much better than passwords. And what I'm also interested in, too, is to see how password managers eventually adapt to this as well, because their whole business model is based on traditional passwords, right? Within websites and other things. So we'll see how they adapt. I don't think they're going anywhere from a business perspective.
Does the phrase kicking and screaming mean anything to you?
It might. Actually, I see evolve or die maybe is what they need to be worried about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they have to worry about it anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have some links in the show notes to learn more about passkeys. And of course, we'll keep everybody updated on more support that comes out. I know Google is next. They've already said that they're going to be supporting it within Android and Chrome and things like that. So it's good. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to everyone's fun and everyone's favorite segment. Let's just call it that, right? Aware Much?
Yes, indeed. Aware Much. Well, this time we have an interesting situation. It was discovered by a researcher, thankfully, who knows if it has been used in the wild or not.
Security
researcher.
Oh, no, they found it.
Did they? In the wild. Wow, okay. So this is a red alert, folks. what are we talking
Breaking
about?
News. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Yes. So you receive a PowerPoint document attachment in an email from somebody that you don't really know very well. And you open it and there's no warnings or anything, but you start looking at it and you think, it doesn't look that good unless I put it in slide view mode. So let's look at it in presentation mode. And you start moving your mouse around and weird things start to happen. So turns out that somebody's been able to embed PowerShell script, as I understand it, within PowerPoint documents that actually triggers malware to be loaded when you are viewing in presenter mode. So that sounds a little bit scary. And I'm in no way qualified to describe exactly how this works. So I'm going to turn it over to the experts in the panel.
Well, I mean, experts, that's a...
yeah, I was going to say.
Okay, but... basically, it's using a PowerShell script, which is a scripting language that's installed on Windows, essentially, targets Windows operating system. And it's just embedded within that PowerPoint, like we see a lot of these attacks, right? And this one in particular is interesting because it's been attributed to APT-28, which is a Russian state-sponsored threat actor.
Fancy bear.
Yeah. Fancy bear. And they are specifically targeting, it looks like, a Paris-based intergovernmental entity in this particular attack, even though that doesn't mean that others won't use this, or if the exploit code gets out, right? We all know how this works in the industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
This will get used elsewhere. So yeah. Just good for people to be aware, right?
So I guess the question comes to mind, why doesn't antivirus software or Microsoft Defender or something discover this code?
Oh, lots of reasons.
Well, just like all other types of 0 days and other things, antivirus only goes so far, right?
Yeah. I mean, what's okay, then let's look at it from a different point of view. What's the value of having PowerShell able to run within PowerPoint?
Well, PowerShell, because it's installed on the operating system, is an easy way to leverage access to the command line to create.
Shouldn't there
shells.
Be something that sort of gives you a warning or prevents it from running by default?
I think the answer there is maybe. When we say things like, should there be a warning? Okay, great. Let me ask you a question. Should there be a warning every time you access the internet that there may be malicious stuff?
Yeah, but how many people create PowerPoints or expect them to be run with something that powerful as code behind it?
How many people create Word documents? How many people create emails? How many people create websites?
That's not the same, though.
No, it's totally the same. We can talk about technologies, right? And don't get me wrong. I don't know enough about this attack to know exactly how it's being pulled off. Other than I personally believe that if you are using computers and you are downloading random content from the internet and then running it on your machine, giving you a warning that this content may be bad is useless.
Right. Let's say that it was an email that you received from somebody's account whom you trust, but their account had been compromised. And they don't usually send you PowerPoints, but maybe in this case, they created a pretext that you might believe. And the first time I've ever run a PowerPoint that popped up a warning that says, hey, something's trying to run a program, I'd be thankful that I got that kind of a warning, because it just doesn't happen.
That kind of warning from Word Office already. When you download a document from the internet and you launch it, there's a bar across the top that says you have to enable editing on this document.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Right. So the idea of a warning, we have warnings all over the place. We have warnings that if you lick that building, you may get cancer. Right. I personally believe that we already get warnings for everything.
I think we get overdosed on warnings where we don't need them.
Let me ask you a question, Scott. How many times do you have to click, it's okay, you can use cookies on this website?
Every 10 minutes.
Every website.
Let me ask you a question.
But that's a use case that is overused, right?
I've got a specific question for you.
Yes.
How many times do you read their explanation of what their cookies do?
Almost never.
Right.
Because I pretty much assume the worst.
Right. So how many times are you going to read the warning that says you downloaded this from the internet? It may do something bad.
If I know I've downloaded it, I would, I accept it. But if it's from somebody else that I wasn't expecting.
That's my point is you already click through the button that says enable this document.
I think I see where you're going, but I think there's a distinction to be made. So we could leave it at that.
I'm just saying you already get a warning, right? You get the warning when you download the PowerPoint. If you're getting a document from a trusted source, if somebody was to compromise my email and send you a PowerPoint that said, hey, it's Kevin, this is for the next
absolutely,
show.
Absolutely, I would accept and I would say, it's from Kevin, I will allow editing on this document. But if I put it in presentation mode and it says, hey, it's trying to run a program here. That would be something I would appreciate because that would almost never happen.
So if I said to you in the email, or the attacker did because you trust me,
yeah.
If the attacker says, hey, Scott, this is a new kind of PowerPoint specifically for the show. It's got some really cool stuff in it. Let the code run.
Well, that's interesting. I guess I would say let's talk about it on the next episode of the Shared Security Show.
It works. That's a great answer. I think adding warnings help.
I think they help when it's not a very, very common thing like a cookie warning.
Yeah. Right?
So, I mean, it's a personal taste thing. So I just think it's very odd that something that powerful is running and there are no warnings. So anyway. Anyway, that's Aware Much brought to you by ClickArmor. And for this installment, I just wanted to remind people that if you're listening to this within the next few days or weeks, Cybersecurity Awareness Month is coming up. And with that in mind, we've actually made our Quick Start bundle more attractive. For only $4.99, now you can get up to 1,000 users for 6 weeks, just for the month of October. And you could have 1,000 users using our Gone Fishing online phishing awareness and simulation game. It's not really a game, it's a course, and it's just much more enjoyable and interactive and educational. We get tons of great feedback on it. Plus, you get 4 weekly virtual inbox phishing challenges, which is really cool because it takes 3 minutes to do each one, and you learn from it. You get to practice your skills at spotting clues in phishing emails. So the Quick Start bundle from ClickArmor is at clickarmor.ca/quickstart. And hope you'll be able to make use of it during Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Thank you, Scott. Do you guys have anything for Halloween? Like anything like
us guys, spooky? You mean Canadians?
Yeah. No, like ClickArmor.
ClickArmor.
Halloween themed awareness.
No, package. We don't. I think it's a little overdone, but you know.
Yeah. We'll leave. Okay. Well, yeah. No trick or treat from.
From just the tricks. Just the tricks.
Nice. Very nice. All right. So our last story, we're going to talk about 2K Games, which is a large video game publisher in the United States. They were hacked. Their actually help desk was hacked. And it targeted their support team, essentially, and the hackers took over their help desk software and sent out basically updates to people's tickets with links to malware.
Nice.
So I think that was an interesting way to attack customers because you're already taking advantage of the fact that you've communicated to their support team. You're probably waiting for a response to a ticket. And of course, if it comes back from a trusted source, even better, right?
It probably has a thing that says, do you want to open this?
Yeah. I mean, well, it came from their actual, you know, legitimate email from their support desk. And so I thought this was an interesting one. We don't see a lot of that, right? Where an attacker is taking over a trusted software, right? Yeah. Essentially. And
I thought it's
a great attack vector for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you can not only help desk, but imagine you can infect the notification system used by organizations, right? I think a few years ago, there was SendGrid got hacked, right? Which is an email provider that a lot of places
use. Here's an interesting aspect to this 2K one is that it wasn't 2K's accounts. It was a vendor who had access to the help desk that was doing it. And right like that, that's even less control that 2K has, right? Now, they didn't say which vendor. They didn't say whether the vendor was the help desk vendor or, right, like that kind of thing. It's totally an awesome attack vector.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, and we see this all the time, too, to add what you just said, Kevin, about vendors and third-party support people, teams, what have you, that have access to a company's system. I mean, that's a huge attack vector in itself. I mean, we see this all the time, where it's always a third-party or a vendor, right, that is being attacked and leveraging the access they have to internal systems to do something like this. All right. So again, I think the advice on that is, you know, be careful. Even getting any type of trusted email from a help desk or, you know, anyone. I mean, the same advice applies, right? Be very cautious what you're asked to click on.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one.
That's right. All right. Well, it looks like that is all we have time for this week. But so glad to have you back on the show, Kevin. You were greatly missed.
Hope to see more of you in future.
I don't think anyone wants to see more of me.
I set you up for that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
We'll just see his face and, you know, the usual things, parts of Kevin.
Don't stand up, please.
Yeah. This is going downhill fast. Yeah. But until next time, we'll talk to everyone again next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.